now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama, baby, ma. Anything's possible.
Rain and Jay's back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. Ooh. This the truth like 34. Yeah. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. The crowd goes crazy. Most in-depth coverage on the daily. Mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings. Focus like Danny at the deadline. Global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line. Play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day. Trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. Thank you for making the show part of your daily routine. I'm usually here for you Monday through Friday. This week, Monday through Thursday, because this is a special series, a deep dive into the Brad Stevens coaching era. And I'm doing four shows this week, so this is the fourth. And next week, three more shows. And then we dive back into five episodes a week as the season begins, the preseason begins in a couple of weeks. So I'm going to get back to my normal routine then. But at this point here, I'm going to get back to Chuck McKinney and Mike Dinan. We're going into part four of our deep dive. In this episode, Kyrie comes to town.
Adding Horford was a coup because it was the first big name free agent that they'd had the ability to sign in years, more than, I don't know, like 15 years, something like that, since they'd had salary cap space to make an offer to somebody on Horford's level. And that was important, not just for the fact of his skill and what he could do with the team, but to make other free agents maybe take a look at Boston as well. I mean, the next year after that, I think it was, right? Kevin Durant gave the Celtics a meeting.
That was the season. It was Horford.
Well, anyway, but if Horford came here, then that was a plus because it made the Celtics look more legit. And so then you got the Kevin Durants of the world saying, well, maybe I should think about them, at least talk to them.
Right. And that is, again, since we're on a Brad Stevens-centric podcast, the coaching is part of this, right? And Al Horford coming to Boston sees in Boston a coach that he can trust. Now, he'll never say anything bad about Mike Budenholzer, and I don't know what he thought about Budenholzer, but part of why you leave a situation when you could get a certain amount of money and you decide, I'm going to go somewhere else to get the same amount of money, what's your situation? You're looking for a better opportunity. You're looking for a better fit. And if he thought Budenholzer was going to get him to the championship, then he probably would have stayed. I'm sure part of this is he looked at Brad Stevens and said, hey, this guy looks like he can really make that leap. And, you know, with better players, a coach of this level can get us to that championship level. And it, you know, the better, you know, I'm going to go there. We're going to be better. We'll get more free agents. So this is going to be, you know, here we go. Boston is on the come up. And so Stevens is part of the pitch. Stevens is part of the pitch to these free agents. Come to Boston. All of these guys, especially role players too. Like we focus on these big names, but the pitch was also to the role players. Brad can get the most out of you. Brad can get you to a point where, you know, look what we did for Jordan Crawford. Look at what we did for, you know, these other guys that had big months, big, you know, look what we're doing for Evan Turner, who got that big contract. Like, we can get you paid. We can get you to that next level because Brad has this knack for doing that. So come on over and get in on some of that Brad Stevens magic.
Just don't blow out your hip. We'll get you paid unless you blow out your hip.
Which Isaiah Thomas did.
I don't fault anybody in that. But it's funny how, you know, all this time when Isaiah was having success, what was he making? Like $5 million, $7 million? I mean, he was a bargain. for those couple years, he was playing at, you know, all NBA level, but he was getting paid like, you know, whatever mid-level exception was. It was a huge, huge bargain at the time. But yeah, Evan Turner got paid. Isaiah did not.
Shame, shame of it all. But okay, so this season is building to something, right? This is where the Celtics, like, you're right, Chuck. This was the off season where if the Celtics had gotten Chris Dunn and drafted Chris Dunn, that was the sign that the Celtics were making the trade for Jimmy Butler. And if they were making the pick, if they were picking Jaylen Brown, it was because they were keeping Jaylen Brown. I remember that reporting specifically. And so when the pick was Jaylen Brown, a lot of people booed. Some people booed maybe because it was Jaylen Brown, but I think some people booed, a lot more people booed, because they were not executing the Jimmy Butler trade. So I do want to say, I want to address this here because it's part of the history that we're going through. The boos on draft night weren't just, boo, we don't want Jaylen Brown. I think most of the boos were, boo, we wanted Jimmy Butler. What are you doing? Here we are. We've got, you know, we've got Isaiah Thomas. We're looking for this leap. Like, all of a sudden, we're making this run. Fans knew, like you said, that the team wasn't complete, that this wasn't going to be the championship contending team. They were like, we want our star now. We want to make our run now. You've done a great job getting us to this point. Now let's start flipping some of these things. Let's start making these moves, because Celtics fans were still high off of the 2008 championship, the 2010 run to the finals. And here we are. This is 2016. And we're thinking 2017 that we're thinking, hey, quick turnaround. Let's get right back into it. This had the potential to be an 80s type Celtics situation where you make your run to the finals, you win a championship, you lose in the finals, you turn around, you come back, you win a few years later. Like, this is sort of a modern NBA timeline that kind of felt like the heyday. We're going to continue the conversation after I tell you about our sponsors. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, then you're watching the highlights on your phone, and your neighbor's best friend's login gets you the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes, no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion. Get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package.
Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify.
Brad is waiting on this contender. Fans are waiting on this contender to be put together. So it never materialized with Jimmy Butler, and the Celtics end up losing in the conference finals to LeBron after that awesome series. This is, you know, that Celtics Washington series was epic. That was, you're right, Chuck. This was the Isaiah Thomas 53-point game. Was this the Kelly Olynyk game 7?
Yeah.
26 points.
The fact that there's a Kelly Olynyk game 7 is just ridiculous. But yeah,
26 points on 10 of 14 shooting off the bench.
I've never watched a game, a performance with more disbelief, like incredulously watching him torch them. Like, there was, you know, you don't view Washington as a rival. I'm sure they didn't view us as a rival, but that was a heated series. And we wanted to get past them. And if you had told me that Olynyk was going to be the deciding factor in such a clutch way, like, I still don't believe it happened. Like, I still don't believe it happens.
Yeah, I was just recently watched a highlight video of that final game, that's game seven. And it was basically a Kelly Olynyk highlight package. And the announcer, Kelly hits a shot in the fourth quarter, and the announcer goes, "It's the game of his life." He couldn't believe it either.
That's amazing.
It was awesome and well-timed.
So now there are the tragic circumstances here of Isaiah Thomas's sister passing away. Then there's the hip issue that costs him that series against Cleveland. So I don't think they were getting past Cleveland there. But this is the end of this feel-good Celtics run. Now Chuck gets the vent. So the Celtics in the summer of 2017 first signed Gordon Hayward. That's the first thing that happened. And Isaiah Thomas is dancing. Remember, this was Isaiah, Al Horford, and Gordon Hayward. That was the plan. That was the initial plan. Isaiah, Horford, and Hayward. Hayward was the main guy. He had just come off an all-star season, a Western Conference all-star wing, coming to Boston in the prime of his career. Isaiah, that video of him dancing in his kitchen after seeing the news that Gordon Hayward signed. Here we go. Brad Stevens has his trio. You've got the explosive scorer. You've got the do-it-all wing that can really be your number one option. You've got Al Horford there tying the whole thing together. Hayward plays defense. Horford plays defense. Stevens coaches defense. He's got elite offensive players to kind of handle a lot of the stuff. The criticism of Brad Stevens not being able to coach an offense is really starting to come up now. And for a while here, the thought is Thomas, Hayward, Horford. Until Kyrie says, "I want out of Cleveland." And Danny Ainge is like, "Whoa, you do?" And makes the move. So this is the next challenge of Brad Stevens' coaching career. Stevens has done great with these guys with the chips on their shoulder. These guys that want to run through brick walls. Those guys he's been great with. Here comes Kyrie Irving. He's got a championship. He hit a game-winning shot. He played alongside LeBron. Kyrie knows exactly the formula in his mind. He knows the exact formula to win a title. Now he wants to climb out of the shadow of LeBron James. He wants his own team. Boston comes in. He's cool with it. Then it's Kyrie and Hayward and Horford. And it feels like the Celtics are primed for something here. So let's start with your reactions to – let's start with Mike. The initial Kyrie pairing with Gordon Hayward and all of that, that whole summer of transactions.
Well, I was, of course, thrilled by Hayward signing. But I wasn't happy with the Kyrie trade because not that I didn't think he was a great player, because he is, but I felt like if you traded for him, you would be helping Cleveland to solve their problem. And I didn't want to do that. I thought, let them figure it out. You know, let them have to deal with him and whatever possible backlash there was from holding him to his contract, or let them trade him somewhere else. But why should the Celtics bail out, essentially, the Cavs from the contract issue and the personality clash, whatever it was, that was causing Kyrie to want to leave there? And, of course, at the time, I don't think anybody knew. I don't remember knowing that Isaiah's injury was that bad. You know, he ended up – did he play it all the next year? Maybe a little bit, but, you know, he would have been out.
Right. But he would have been out. You're right. He didn't play. I'll look up his minutes.
I mean, if you had Isaiah, Horford, and Hayward, that was a pretty good trio right there. But if Isaiah couldn't play, and somebody still wanted to trade for him and get Kyrie Irving back, everybody made that trade. Everybody would have made that trade.
Right. 32 now, games.
It was a cold-hearted thing that Danny did to Isaiah. And I think, you know, they had to mend some fences after that. But everybody would have made that trade. And they've been criticized for it after the fact for years now. But everyone would have made that trade. And once the trade happened, even though I wasn't in favor of it, of course, once it happened, I bought in and I was ready. Let's get out here. And it all started out so well with Kyrie being in Boston. Everything was peachy keen and he was happy to be here. And eventually the wheels came off. But at the time of the trade, that was my reaction.
Yeah. So, you know, I was all in on trading for Kyrie. I thought that the deal was fair. IT and the first round pick, which I think ended up being the ninth pick or whatever. But for me, it was, you know, an aspect of this was the, what is Isaiah going to want? This was his last year of his contract, right? And we had heard the back up the Brink struck comments, and we had always wondered, like, do the Celtics value him as a max player? And I think that, you know, there was that uncertainty as to, you know, would they match up? You know, Isaiah may have just followed the money and signed with the team that gave him the biggest bag. Did the Celtics view him that way? So I think that's something that we kind of forget when we look back and we kind of romanticize Isaiah's time here. Was we don't know what those contract negotiations were gonna be like.
Right.
So I think now you look and you learn about Isaiah's personality, and you think he probably, you know, would he have realized that this was a good thing for him, and would he have taken some type of pay cut to stay here? I don't know, but that was a big part of it, and I feel like there was just more certainty with Irving wanting him being an elite offensive player. Not that Isaiah wasn't, but if you watched Kyrie in that series against Golden State in that finals, between hitting that shot and some of the way he played offensively, I think you felt like you were checking off another box that Isaiah hadn't yet proven. And it was the ability to play, you know, it's one thing to beat Washington in the second round. It's another thing to beat Golden State in the finals. And I think seeing Kyrie being able to do that, I was like, I'm all in. You're right. I'm all in. This team works for me. It still has some flaws, but I was excited. I was excited for, I don't know, maybe it was 2.5 months.
Yeah. It was not a long time. Back to wrap up today's show in just a minute. First, got to tell you about today's sponsors. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar on the market. Take my word for it. It's delicious. It tastes like a candy bar, but it is healthy. Every one of these Built Bars has 17 to 18 grams of protein, only about 130 to 180 calories, 4 to 5 grams of sugar, 4 or 5 net carbs. And you got flavors like raspberry, mint brownie, German chocolate, cookies and cream. How can those delicious flavors be healthy for you? I don't know how they do it, but they do. If you've got a nut allergy, no problem. If you are on the keto diet, these work. You can go check them out. They're the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team, which is pretty cool. Go to built.com and check it out. They've got a bunch of different products that are constantly dropping. They've got Built Puffs. They've got the Built Balls. Different things for different people. Your gluten-free options. So go to built.com. Use the promo code LOCKED15 every time you go. Doesn't matter if you buy one box. Doesn't matter if you buy the assorted box and try something and then figure out which flavor you want to buy. Just use that promo code LOCKED15 every time you go to built.com for 15% off. Football is officially back. They are back on the field, pro and college, and Bet Online is your number one spot to bet on it all. So go check it out. Updated odds, props, and contests, including online's biggest $500,000 NFL mega contest and the world's largest $200,000 NFL Survivor Contest open right now at Bet Online. Head on over to the website, use your laptop, use your mobile device, and you're going to get a 100% welcome bonus with the promo code Locked On. Create your profile, set it all up, use the promo code Locked On. You make your first deposit, whatever it is, they match it with their 100% welcome bonus. So you're winning right away. It's the fastest and easiest way to bet on your favorite sports and your favorite Vegas casino games. So don't wait. Take advantage of all the great offers going on right now at BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Please gamble responsibly.
Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram.
It was a roller coaster of a year, not to fast forward to the end of the season, but looking back at that, you know, you fast forward to the end, and then you look at what this team went through and Kyrie getting hurt throughout the season, and you say, hey, this team pushed Cleveland to 7 games in the Eastern Conference Finals. And I'm not mixing up my years. With Hayward and Irving on the bench, we're watching Rozier go nuts. And that was just an incredible series. So what a roller coaster of a season, just emotion-wise.
It's a 55-win season. It's let's start at the beginning. So you've got the introductory press conference looking at each other. It's going to be crazy, G. Like that whole feeling, and in the preseason, you're really starting to get that feeling of, all right, I see it. I see the Celtics being really good. They got Hayward. They got Kyrie. That Isaiah Thomas run was great, but now they've turned around and basically, to be cold and callous here, they traded an injured point guard who had the best 2.5-year run of his life and Jay Crowder to get Kyrie Irving. And now you've got him, you got Hayward, you got Horford. This is a team now that you feel good about. You got Jaylen Brown. I don't know that anybody expected much from Jaylen Brown, but he's starting to come up. They're getting Aaron Baines comes in. The team is starting to show itself. Jason Tatum is a rookie on this team. And it seems like Stevens is managing this well. Like there's the criticism of, well, Stevens doesn't know how to manage superstars. And I think the Kyrie kind of extended run of Kyrie can maybe add that perspective of maybe Brad Stevens just doesn't know what the hell to do with Kyrie Irving, and no one does. And he's so all over the place. There's so many facets to Kyrie, which is fascinating. He's one of the most fascinating people to me because on some levels, he's like this amazing person. He actually does amazing things. The things that he's concerned about are actually worthy things to be concerned about. But then on the basketball side, he is kind of all over the place. He uses excuses to not play. And there's some level of like, well, how committed are you to this? So it's hard to coach Kyrie Irving. I mean, I was there. This is my first like real exposure to Kyrie. And I see how he runs around with his own personal kind of like valet, and he plays by his own rules, and he talks to people that he only, Jackie McMullen would come in and he'd sit there and talk to Jackie for a long time. No one else can get a one-on-one with Kyrie. You know, he's only concerned about certain people, talking to certain people, saying certain things. So, but Kyrie comes in, and this first season is actually really good. Like, I think there might be a little bit of revisionist history going on. This team was second in the East. They won 55 games. Yeah, Kyrie had the knee thing and had to get the stuff from his patellar fracture removed, but there's this team is actually still really good, but you have that injury, right? The injury, what was it? 5 minutes into the game? I forget exactly how far in. The season, career changing, whatever you want to call it, the ankle fracture of Gordon Hayward completely now changes everything when it comes to the Boston Celtics. They make it through this year and make this incredible run, but the Gordon Hayward injury is a flashpoint that, as I've said before, this is part of why Brad Stevens is even as president of basketball operations right now. And it's the long-term effects of this injury. We didn't know it at the time because they persevered and made it through this season pretty well. But the net effect of what happened to Gordon Hayward starts to show itself in the next season. So let's just focus on this season and this run, because if there's any positive side of losing a player of Hayward's caliber, it's Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown start to like get pushed into, hey, you guys got to start doing something. So Brad gets to go back to finding these young guys and trying to pull the best out of those guys.
Yeah, Brad did a great job that year. Players stepped up. Terry Rozier, you know, did we expect him to be what he turned out to be in the playoffs? He was deadly. He was lethal.
Huge playoffs for him.
They don't get to the Eastern Conference Finals without Terry Rozier doing what he did. And you know, Brad did a good job. I don't think you can complain. I don't think anybody rational would complain about how the season ended up.
Rational.
I had to add that. The caveat, but you know, the reality is we had very high expectations, especially after getting Kyrie, and they didn't make it that far, and it was all because of that one injury to Hayward. And for myself, more than just, I mean, I was gutted for him. That was a brutal injury. But as soon as it happened, I said, that is the end of the season right there. 5 minutes and the season is over. Because we had expectations, I did, of making the NBA Finals, even contending, even being having a legit chance to win the title. And as soon as that happened, I said, now it's going to be almost impossible to get that far. And then when Kyrie, when he went down, well, now you had no hope. So the playoffs then, what it turned out to be, was so much fun because they exceeded expectation at that point. The expectation came down. They exceeded that and still got farther than they had the year before. And if Terry had been able to hit a couple of threes in the fourth quarter of that game seven against Cleveland, maybe it would have been different. Not blaming him. Just saying, you know, he was 0 for 10 for the game from three. So, you know, that had an effect. And you had the play with Tatum dunking on LeBron. Epic all-time play. That'll be on his highlight reel for his Hall of Fame induction. And not only that, but that particular play, that dunk brought the Celtics to within 2 points, and there was just a few left. And then Tatum hit a three on the next possession. They were actually in the lead with about 6 minutes left to go to the finals, and then they just couldn't finish it off, because that's when you need the little player like a Kyrie or a Hayward to get you over the hump through those last few minutes to close it out. And they didn't have that quality, that type of talent out there at that point, but they got so far. And that was, to go back to talking about Brad, that was a great look for Brad. He deserved all the praise that he got. and he did get a lot of praise out of that.
Yeah, no, just to say, the pendulum, the just going through it and just talking as the pendulum swung, right, or the high points, you know, when you're like, you know, we are favorites to compete for a title, and then the injury happens, and it's like, oh, crap, we're not going to win squat, to, hey, you know, we're having a pretty good regular season, maybe we can make some noise, to, oh, shit, now Kyrie's hurt, now we're doing it in the playoffs, to, holy shit, we're in game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals against LeBron with this kind of like, you know, spunky group. So you're all over the place with a team that kind of takes on two different identities in the course of a season. That's just crazy. It's just wild to think about when you look back.
So once again, the Celtics are overachieving, but that's going to change. And that's going to come up in the next episode. Episodes 5, 6, and 7 of our 7-part series next week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. That's how next week is going to go. So make sure you're subscribed as we continue this deep dive into the Brad Stevens coaching era. Subscribe if you're listening on a podcast. Subscribe if you like to watch on YouTube. Just please do so and share the podcast. Tell your friends that they should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.